PRX. This is the Moth Radio Hour. I'm Jay Allison, producer of this radio show, and we'll get going right away. Our first story is from the writer Matthew McGough from a live Moth event at the Players Club in New York City. Here's Matthew.
I grew up a huge fan of the New York Yankees, which when I was very small involved going to games maybe once a year with my father and my little brother, watching Reggie Jackson, then a little bit older watching Dave Winfield. And then when I kind of came into my teens, Don Mattingly, who was, you know, my absolute favorite player. And as I went to high school in New York, and it was kind of a turning point the first time that I went to a Yankee game by myself, and I started going to Yankee games by myself. And it was at one of these games in the fall of 1991 that I went up to the stadium, bought a ticket to the bleachers, and went and sat in the bleachers and was watching the game, and noticed for the first time something that I'd been to the stadium so many times before, but I'd never seen this kid in right field wearing a Yankee uniform, who was a bat boy, playing catch with the right fielder, and I'd never noticed the bat boy before, and this kid could not play catch for his life. He was throwing the ball over Jesse Barfield's head, the right fielder, and he was one-hopping him, and I was like, you know, I'm not a great athlete, but I can play catch at least as well as this kid can, and I don't understand why he has, you know, that job, and I couldn't. And so I went home that night, and I tore a page out of the program that listed all the different, you know, Yankee executives, and I wrote a handwritten letter to everyone from Steinbrenner on down to Stump Merrill, who was the manager at that point, and basically said, you know, my name is Matt, and I'm 16 years old, and I'm a huge fan of the Yankees, and, you know, I don't know if you can apply for this bat boy position, but if you can, I really would like an application, and I'm so excited to hear from you that if I don't hear from you soon, I'm going to follow up with a phone call. So sent these off, and about 2 weeks went by, and after, you know, 2 weeks, I hadn't heard anything, and so I picked up the phone, and the Yankee switchboard number was on the same list of executives, and secretary answered the phone, "Hello, New York Yankees," and I said, "Hi, this is Matt McGough," and I sent a letter in a couple weeks ago about applying for a bat boy position, and nobody got back to me. So she's like, "Okay, well, I'll take your name down, and I'll have somebody get back to you," and she took my number down, and another week goes by, and I don't hear anything, so I pick up the phone again, and I call, and this woman answers the phone, "Hello, New York Yankees," and I say, "Hi, this is Matt, you know, I sent some letters in about the bat boy position, and I called last week, and somebody was supposed to call me back, but, you know, I thought it was kind of rude that they hadn't," and so she, you know, she laughed, and she asked me, "How old are you?" And I said, 16, and she laughed some more, and I didn't really understand what she was laughing at, but, you know, she took down my name again. She said, you know, I'll make sure that somebody gets back to you. So, you know, a few days later, sure enough, in the mail, a letter arrived on Yankee letterhead, official letterhead, and it invited me to come up to the stadium for an interview with Nick Priori, who's the clubhouse manager. So I put my jacket and tie on, and I don't even think I told any of my friends about this because it was way too weird to explain. So I went up, took the 4 train up to the stadium and walked around the stadium, and this is October, so they weren't playing in the World Series in October back in 91, so it was very, very quiet, and I walked around the stadium and walked into the Yankee lobby, and there was a security guard there, and I introduced myself, and I say, "I'm here for the bat boy interview," and he picks up the telephone, and he's like, "You know, Nick, some kid's here to see you," and, you know, "Oh, okay." So he says, "You know, have a seat." So I sit down in the pinstripe lobby, and I'm, you know, passing about 10 minutes waiting for this guy, Nick, to come up for the first job interview of my life, for the first job of my life. And I'm, you know, trying to think of the questions that he might ask me. And so I'm ready to tell him what my favorite subject is in school and tell him, you know, why I think the Yankees need a big bat behind Mattingly, you know, to win the pennant next year, and what, you know, Mickey Mantle's batting average was in 1956, and like all these different questions. So, you know, I'm kind of passing the time, and these double doors burst open, and this guy walks in, obviously Nick, but he doesn't introduce himself. He's, you know, could be anywhere from 40 to 80 years of age. He has this greased back hair, and has a stogie between the two teeth left in his mouth, and a chaw of tobacco possibly also, and this wife beater t-shirt, and Yankee shorts, and white athletic socks pulled up to his knees, and he's shoe polish, like black sneakers that are obviously shoe polished, and he just looks at me and says, "Are your parents going to mind you taking the train home late at night?" So I say, you know, "I take the train to school every day, I think it'll be fine," and he just kind of looks at me and finally I said, no, I don't think my parents will mind me taking the train home late at night. And he says, we'll come back opening day. So that was October. You know, I go home. I think I have the job. I'm not really sure. And, you know, 6 months later, opening day, 1993, I show up at 9 a.m. I put on my jacket and tie. I walk back to the stadium. I go back downstairs, you know, through these tunnels and come to this, you know, big steel door that says Yankee Clubhouse on, and I walk inside and it's complete pandemonium. And, you know, there's these ball players that I'd only seen before on TV or across rows and rows of stadium seats, and like they're there in the flesh in front of me, and Don Mattingly is over, you know, on the right, and I had a poster of Don Mattingly above my bed, you know, for my whole life, and he's standing right over there, and Jimmy Key, the ace of the pitching staff, is over there, and all these guys. And, you know, opening day at Yankee Stadium is not just a sports event, it's a news event. It's the beginning of spring in New York, and Mayor Dinkins is there with his entourage, and just Mayor Dinkins and Don Mattingly, you know. It's so I'm walking around and just kind of lost, and I figure, you know, I better go find Nick. So I walk up to Nick and I say, Nick, I'm Matt, we met a couple months ago, what do you want me to do? It's my first day of work. So he says, stay that F out of my way. So I kind of like shrink back and throw my backpack over on the side, and I'm just kind of wandering around in a daze, and I feel a tap on my shoulder. And I turn around and it's Don Mattingly. And he sticks his hand out and he says, how's it going? I'm Don Mattingly. Are you going to be working with us this year? Which, you know, even at that moment, I'd never really thought about the experience in those terms. And he could have said so many other things that wouldn't have been as cool as that. Like, he could have said, you know, who are you? Or are you the new bat boy? Or are you going to be working for us this year? But he said, you know, I'm Don Mattingly. Are you going to be working with us this year? So I said, I know who you are, Mr. Mattingly. I'm Matt. I'm the new bat boy. And he's like, great to meet you, Matt. I have a very big job to ask of you. I've just unpacked all my bats from spring training, and I don't know if it was the altitude of the flight up from Florida or the humidity down there or what, but the game starts in about 2 hours, and I need you to find me a bat stretcher. So I say, okay. So I go and find Nick, and I go, you know, Nick is busy. Probably half a dozen ball players are like bothering him for double A batteries, or, you know, my hat's too small, or this or that. And I go up and I'm like, Nick, I need a bat stretcher for Don Mattingly. And he lets loose with a stream of expletives that fell on, I swear, completely virgin ears. Like, I'd never heard that type of language in the movies before or anywhere, let alone directed at me. So I kind of like rock back on my heels and go and find somebody I can trust, like Nick's assistant Rob, and I ask him, you know, I need a bat stretcher for Don Mattingly, and Nick told me to go F myself, and I don't know what to do. So he was like, chill out. You know, I saw Danny Tartable using one in his locker. So Danny Tartable's the, you know, power hitting right fielder. I go to his locker, and he's getting dressed in his uniform, and I stand off on the side, and he says, you know, how's it going? And I'm like, fine, I'm Matt, I'm the new bat boy, and I need a bat stretcher for Don Mattingly, and I heard you were just using one. So he's like, well, I was using one, but I left it in the manager's office. You should probably go check in there. So I say, thanks. And he says, see you around. And I go into the manager's office and walk in, and Buck Showalter, the manager, is having a press conference with probably like 8 or 10 reporters. And I stand off on the side, and I'm kind of, you know, the conversation comes to a standstill basically because there's the 16-year-old kid there in his Easter blazer and jacket and standing in the manager's office at Yankee Stadium 2 hours before first pitch on opening day, looking very lost and very anxious. And Showalter turns to me and he's like, can I help you? And I say, I'm Matt, I'm the new bat. I'm really sorry to interrupt, but I need a bat stretcher for Don Mattingly, and Danny Tartable says that he left it in here. So Showalter looks down like beneath his desk, and, you know, he's like, well, you know, do you need a right-handed one or a left-handed one? So this is the first moment all day that I actually, you know, this is the first question that I had that I could answer with complete confidence, because you couldn't have grown up in New York at that time, you know, without knowing that Mattingly was the best left-handed hitter in baseball. So I say, do I need a left-handed bat stretcher? So he's like, well, I think we maybe have a right-handed one around here, but probably not a left-handed one. And like, you should try it out at the Red Sox clubhouse and see if they have one. So I said, okay, thanks. You know, I'm sorry to interrupt. I go out. At this point, I'm like sprinting down the hallways, like the tunnels beneath the stands, the first base stands at the stadium, and I run into the Red Sox clubhouse and find their equipment manager and give him like the whole story. I'm at him, the new bat boy for the Yankees, and Danny Tartable left his right-handed bat stretcher in Buck Showalter's office, and he left-handed one, and like the game's about to start, and he's like, calm down, like, you know, we don't have one, but we need one. Like, here's $20. Go up to the sporting goods store on 161st Street and River Avenue and buy two. Like, buy a left-handed one for Mattingly and a right-handed one for us, and then bring me back the change. So he gives me the 20, I put it in my pocket, I run upstairs. You know, at this point, it's like an hour before opening day. The fans are coming down, like 50,000 fans are coming down from, you know, the subway in the opposite direction that I'm walking. I'm the only person in the world who knows that, you know, if I don't come through on this mission, Mattingly is going to go up there against Roger Clemens and the Red Sox on opening day at Yankee Stadium with a toothpick in his hand, basically. So I'm like fighting against the crowd and feeling so much weight on my shoulders, and I make my way, you know, and I'm about to cross the threshold of Stan's Sporting Goods when it dawns on me, like, I've played a lot of baseball in my life, and I've, you know, been a big fan for a while, and like, I don't even know what a bat stretcher looks like. And it, this moment that I'm like walking into the store, it dawns on me for the first time, like, is this a joke? Like, could this possibly... could this possibly be a joke? And if it, you know, but I've had so much fear because, like, if it is a joke and I go back and I tell Don Mattingly, you know, I'm too smart to fall for your, you know, your BS bat stretcher story, and I'm wrong, I'm going to be back in the bleachers, like, before my first game, you know, and lose my dream job. So, you know, I take three laps around the stadium kind of convincing myself, like, it's got to be a joke. Like, it's got to be a joke. And I, you know, I walk back in, I go down the stairs, I walk into the clubhouse, Mattingly winks at me from across the clubhouse, a couple of other ball players laugh. Mattingly goes 3-for-5 that day, Yankees win, it was my first day in pinstripes, and you know, I didn't learn until later on that I was the first kid in anyone's memory to have gotten the job without having a connection, without, you know, somebody knowing somebody or my dad knowing somebody or whatever, which was, you know, a lesson in itself, and, you know, is intensely naive my pursuit of that job was. You know, I was probably as naively intense in chasing the bat stretcher, but, you know, the lesson in the story is, you know, when there's, with a great deal of persistence and a little bit of common sense, even if the thing you're chasing may not exist, you can sometimes will it into being. Thank you.
Matthew McGough is an author, journalist, and television writer. He's currently writing a true crime book. Matthew wrote on NBC's Law and Order, and the CBS television series Clubhouse was based on his memoir, Bat Boy, Coming of Age with the New York Yankees. The Moth Radio Hour is produced by Atlantic Public Media in Woods Hole, Massachusetts, and presented by PRX. We hope you will support your public radio station right now.